लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk.
Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. After a few actors lately, I'm having a new actress here in my podcast, origin from Australia, actually based in New York, often in LA, so you can choose which part of her countries you wanna have her. So for me, it's late in the afternoon. For her, it's in the morning, and I'm sending lovely greetings to New York and say hello to Liv Kirby. Welcome to my podcast, Liv.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. We had a bit of crushing from Dion, as always. I will upload this picture in my Instagram profile, but a lot of you know him already, the black shadow in my life. So you said you have also pet, Liv?
I do. I have two dogs. I have one that's, I adopted him, so I'm not too sure what he is. I think he's maybe Jack Russell. But he's 11. And then I have a Cavapoo, which is a Cavalier cross poodle. And he's about six.
Huh, so from dog mom today. But let me ask you this. How is it in New York having a dog? Okay, there's a big Central Park to walk, right? No? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's work. It's going up and down in the elevator isn't fun. I wish I just had back doors that I could open and they could run to the yard. But it is beautiful when you can take them to Central Park, and there are other really nice dog parks, and I walk the water with them in Manhattan. So yeah, it's nice.
That's crazy. No, because I'm always wondering, as I said, I'm living in the landscape and it's totally easy here to have the dog, you know, but sometimes I cannot believe how it is in a big city to have a dog.
Yeah, I don't understand how people have big dogs. Like, there's someone on our street that has a Doberman. And yeah, that I don't, you need a big apartment for that.
yeah, for sure. I know that the actor Rain Larson, for example, has a Chihuahua who's flying with him from set to set.
I am so jealous.
Yeah, with my big dog, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, I would do anything to have these two on a plane with me, but it's too much work. It's too much work.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's not comfortable for the dogs.
No, no, or me.
So, and I recently saw that my dog is really enjoying being sometimes alone. When I checked him out with the camera, he was totally more chilling than if I would have been home. So,
hey, some of us just need our alone space.
Yeah. So, we are enough dog talks. But they are always so cute. No, the first question I'm always asking is, how did you end up in the vertical industry? Accidentally, or how did you,
yeah,
let's say, get trapped?
Get trapped in here. It was a little bit accidental, because my first vertical was in New York in 2024. I think it was around February or March. And it was possibly one of the first few that they were doing in New York. So
what was the title? Do you know?
It was Submitting to My Best Friend's Dad with Mark Schottner and Sen.
With a German guy.
Mm-hmm. You like that one. So we had just come out of the actors' strike and the writers' strike, and the industry was still very, very slow. And I think what they advertised it as back then was web series or Mobisode. Definitely didn't say anything about vertical. And so I auditioned. I got a call back, which was on Zoom with the producers and the director. And they offered me the role. I went to a fitting. And then the next day was the first day of shooting. And the cameras were vertical. And I was okay. I was just like going with the flow. But all of a sudden, we were filming pages and pages and pages. And I've come from horizontal sets where you do maybe 4 pages a day, not 15. So I was just trying to stay afloat. And I remember the client was there from China and she was like, verticals, you guys are going to be stars. And I'm like, I don't really know what you're talking about. Okay, sure. So that was kind of my first experience with verticals. And I think I waited maybe 4 or 5 months for that one to come out. And when it came out, I sobbed. I bawled my eyes out because it was the only way I saw it was on Facebook, and I was reading the comments, and I feel like A, shouldn't have done that. B, I don't think there was the viewership hadn't worked out. Like, we didn't know the audience, and everyone was like, this is so cringy. This is acting 101. And I was like, but they told me I'm like that. And so I was just reading. I was like, I'm never doing this again. And then I did.
Yeah. But your first one, it was a classic trope one with billionaire, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Did you ever contact it with a werewolf one?
I've never done a werewolf one.
Okay. Because I was told from a few, okay, when we came across the werewolf one, the first one, it was totally, what the heck is that now with this? No, it was so weird for a lot of people doing the first werewolf one or this, all this werewolf or vampire stuff doing it. But okay, the storyline in your first one was a typical vertical trope.
Yeah. Yeah. Best friend's dad. I've done so many of them now, but yeah, it was interesting because I remember doing so much preparation and trying to like find these characters with this story that I was like, so much is happening in this story. And then I got to set and they were like, no, just do it like this. I was like, okay. My prep work out the window.
Have you watched your first vertical when it came out?
I watched parts of it and then I couldn't anymore because I was just like, I don't know. I was reading the comments and I was like, I don't even want to see this. People are so judgmental on what I've done. I can't sit through this. So I did see clips that were online and there were a few scenes I remember I wanted to see what they looked like.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I don't really sit down and watch it from start to finish, my verticals, just if I want to see how things turned out or it felt good in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm too critical on myself.
So how did you get into this acting stuff in total? I mean, you're born in Australia, right?
Yeah, born and raised in Australia.
How long have you lived in Australia before coming over to New York?
Yeah, I was in Australia up until I was 18. And I started acting classes maybe when I was 11 in Australia, and I was involved with the school theater and yeah, working where I could, but still I was under 18, so there wasn't a ton of work and I wasn't really pursuing it because I was still in high school. And then I moved to the US when I was 18. And
because of acting or because of what?
For acting, I first went over to LA. And I did some studying over there with some of the acting studios. And then I really wanted to do theater. So I moved to New York and dance was a really big part of my life as well. And I wanted to try my shot at being a backup dancer for world tours. So I did that. I auditioned there a little bit and for some Broadway shows. But I fell in love with the acting part of everything because the girls that dance here and the girls that sing here in New York, like, you have to be doing that since you were 3 years old. I
And have connections and stuff, huh?
Connections, and I would still love to do Broadway in a play, but I think I learned that my strength was in acting, not in the dancing and the singing. So, yeah. So I've been here for 14 years now.
Wow, that's a long time.
It's like home.
Yeah, I think so. No, but that's why I were asking before where you live, if it's New York or LA, because okay, lately there have been more in vertical stuff in New York, right? But I mean, the main part of it is still in LA. That's why I'm asking.
Still in LA. There's definitely more going on in New York. I haven't worked in New York since my very first vertical submitting to my best friend's dad. Everything else has been LA, Canada, Turkey, China, just everywhere but New York.
In Turkey? Oh, you shot in Istanbul?
Yeah, I've been there 3 times now.
Which verticals you shot in Istanbul?
My first one was Falling for the Billionaire CEO, which was with Jared Harper and Sarah Maliski. And that one didn't really, that wasn't, I feel like it didn't do too well. But then the other ones were One Night for My Son, I think it was called, with Cayman. And then, yeah.
That was you, right?
Yeah, that was in Istanbul. And then a few weeks later, I went back and I did Tears and Contracts with Tim Stein and Kiki Fratt.
No, because the drama pop show are so good in quality.
They're so good. They're so good.
I don't want to hype as a European, but but drama pops, Candy Jar, My Drama, the Ukrainian verticals.
Yep.
Candy Jar is based in Germany.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I can tell you. All the smaller platforms, Candy Jar, Drama Pops, My Drama, are in European shot or based, or both, like My Drama. And the qualities of these platforms are always so good. And you have a lot of new storylines in this smaller platforms. They're more willing to take the risk for new storylines. So in my monthly recap I'm doing with the ladies, mostly one of these episodes is mostly the app of the month because the quality and the content is so good. And in Candy Jar, the stories are always based on books. So you won't find any shitty banquet scene in a Candy Jar vertical or stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you can be assured that the quality is so good. And every produced vertical in Turkey produced vertical, they were also good. So
yeah,
unbelievable good in quality and storyline. And
you know what? I feel like at least the ones I've done in Turkey, it's more of a collaborative experience. I feel like the directors want to hear my opinion on the character and want to see my take before being like, no, Liv, do a sharp head turn here and look down the camera and a teardrop now. It's in Turkey, it's more collaborative. And I
yeah, when I spoke with Danny Farber, who also directed in Turkey a few verticals, I asked him what's so different doing these verticals in Turkey, because there is also the same amount of time shooting it, but the quality is much better. How can this happen? And Danny told me that he is sure that it's because after shootings, it's more like a family. The atmosphere is more familiar between all the people on set. And he said also that the crew is bigger on set in Turkey. So it's more possible to go in the detail because there are more people looking after some details and stuff. And I said, yeah, but, you know, it's the same amount of time. A lot of platforms are saying, oh, yeah, the time was too short. We couldn't have done. Yeah, you could, because other platforms can do it in the same amount of time. You know what I mean? So that's why I really adore Drama Pops, My Drama, and Candy Jar. They don't put out so many shows per month, but when they are putting out shows, so
yeah,
The new pirate one with Nick Ritacco and Emma Reinagle also dropped on MyDrama.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. And the other pirate one dropped on Candy Jar. So here we go. The smaller platforms willing to take more risks for new genres.
There we go.
Yeah, so that's what I am saying to everyone who already shot in Europe or have the possibility. I'm always saying do it, because with every person I was talking about shooting in Europe, everyone was so happy about it. Have you ever shot in China?
Yes, I have.
How many times?
I've been there 3 times.
Okay, so you have all the continents.
Checking the floor. Huh. Can I think Australia? I feel like.
Yeah, that's would have been the next question I want to ask. Have you ever shot in Australia one?
No. Not Australia, not New York. It's like the 2 places.
Okay, maybe you should reconsider where you live.
I'm moving to China.
but really, I mean, some of the verticals shot in New York were really good, I saw. But sometimes Danny Farber lately shot the first one in, was it Kentucky or Kansas? I don't know, somewhere totally new. And so I'm curious, they started shooting verticals also here in Germany.
Yeah.
A few months ago. So I'm sure that in 2026, there will pop up more and more shooting locations also.
Sure. Have the ones shot in Germany, have they been released yet?
No. It's a, well, wait a second. Someone is ringing my door. Wait.
No worries.
So, no, these verticals, I saw that they were shooting. It's a production company 2 hours from here. It's also in German spoken, but they all had casting calls for English speaking people. So I'm sure that it will be a bit more international then. And I read on the website of this production company that they will release it together with the new platform, as we don't have enough already. And that they will release this platform when they have round about 15 till 20 produced verticals. So I'm following them on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they were shooting lately. But I haven't seen a German vertical yet. But there is an actor, a guy, who produced on his own a queer vertical, a German one. And he's publishing, I think, every 2 weeks, an episode on his Instagram profile.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, the Germans are so structured and organized. And I started watching Vertical in summer 2023. And no one was knowing what's going on here in Germany. And a lot of people are still asking me, what is the second podcast? Because I have also a German podcast. And then they ask me, what is the second podcast you are doing about these verticals? Is that a movie? And I said, no. And then you have to explain it to them. But the problem is, if you are Googling some information about verticals in German,
yeah,
you cannot find any really German articles about it. It's now recently I see on LinkedIn in some production studios. And so they are recognizing now, okay, that was not a fling, this vertical stuff. It's really an industry behind this. And I'm in touch with a lot of people because they somehow saw my podcast and said, are you talking to vertical actors? And I said, yeah, for more than 5 months now. So I know what's in this industry going on. And I was contacted a few times from Munich, for example. Munich's are some big film studios, and they asked me, yeah, do you want to come over to discuss this? Because they are trying to get in this industry now, but because the Germans are so structured and organized, they have to check out everything before they are, you know, it's a long time thing before they are not so spontaneous.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they are underestimating this industry actually a bit.
Yeah. I feel like that's how it began in the US as well, I think. Yeah. It's just a matter of time before everyone comes around.
Yeah, so we will see. But I'm sure that Germany will develop as a shooting location this year, because we have here some really great castles and stuff for period pieces. You can shoot so good here. Yeah, I did. I was in a movie which was shot in my hometown's castle. I have in my hometown here is a big, big castle. And a French production company shot there a movie, when was it, a few years ago? Because in the Second World War, my hometown was for 9 months the capital of France in history. And it was a big historical thing. And so a French production company with a very famous French director shot here in this castle at the original location where the stuff happened. And they asked me if I want to join as the president's wifey. So I played the French president's wifey in the Second World War, and it was so great. Every morning you got into the castle, you went straight to the hair and makeup, and then when you came out, you felt like in the Second World War.
Wow.
It was really cool. And you know, the funny part was, on this castle, when the Second World War ends, everyone has to run away from the castle. So they left everything origin at that time in the castle, because they had to run away because the Americans came over. And so there were so many origin stuff in this castle still left, origin newspapers, everything. And you felt so, every morning you passed the door to the castle and then you were so,
yeah.
So for period pieces, Germany is a really great shooting location, in my opinion.
Oh my gosh, I would die to do a period piece in Germany. That would be amazing.
We have a lot of castles. Oh, now is Dion is now. Did you hear him?
It's playtime.
Squeezing his toy. Yeah. You want to show your toy?
It's a cute toy.
Yeah, but the ears and stuff, you see it? It's a bit... bit smashed. So yeah, no, but I'm sure Roberta Sparta shot lately a vertical in Italy. Also, Italy is coming up, and in England the verticals were shot, and Lithuania for Drama Pops also, and
well,
so I'm sure that we will be a bit more European.
That's so fun.
So do you have any European project in maybe this year?
I've auditioned for quite a few ones in Poland. I haven't booked any of them yet, but
yeah, Poland is also new, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know for which platform that would have been?
I think it was for My Drama.
Huh. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. There was also talk about Ukraine, but that didn't go through. Yeah. So I don't know what this year is going to bring. I feel like I'm always on a plane somewhere. So,
but how do you manage that with your dogs then?
I have my partner here as well. So,
okay.
After them, or there's a great website called Trusted House Sitter. I don't know if you know that. It's a world.
You know, I'm at the landscape. We are not so trusty to other people.
Well, this is like the $300 for the year, which it seems a lot, but people say for the year, but unlimited. So it, yeah, and people always want to come to New York and stay in Manhattan. They just have to look after my dogs, and there's screenings. So like, they make sure that these screenings. So there's a few ways I get the dogs after, but.
And I will do that for you also.
Oh, whenever you want to come to New York, I'll let you know when I'm.
I've never been in New York.
You need to come.
Yeah, no, I've never been to New York. So,
oh, yeah, definitely come.
So, how many verticals have you done so far? Do you know that?
Yeah, I'm not one of those crazy people that have done like 50 something verticals. I've done 14 so far. So not nothing crazy, but enough.
Mostly the classic one, CEO, billionaire, whatever.
Billionaire, age gap, forbidden love, mafia, you name it. I just haven't done well. I've never done really any sci-fi. Yeah.
Have you done a Christmas vertical?
I've done a Christmas one. I would love.
Yeah, because I love the really Christmas vertical. But last year, the Christmas vertical were not good. There were typical vertical tropes. And it was called a Christmas vertical because in the back was a Christmas tree standing and that's it, you know.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so Christmas vertical is not... It's the same with the werewolf ones. Sometimes it's a classical vertical trope and it's not a CEO. It's an alpha then, you know what I mean? It's exactly the same role you could have used for every genre. So, yeah. Now, what would be a dream role for you in a vertical?
Or I feel like doing something new. I don't know if it's just the platforms I work for. A lot of them just stick to the been done before. I would love to do something that hasn't really been done yet. So I don't know what that is, but something that a platform's willing to take risk on and just exploring something new. Because I feel like I love what I do. My dog's listening to the sound. His ears are working.
So the dogs are dogging and we are talking. Dion,
kannst
du bitte aufhören? Wo ist dein Ballo?
Aus.
Holy crap. No, because this thing is, I'm sure that there will be new genre because we need new storylines now. I loved that there was now lately the first kind type of Western one, also the pirate one. So I'm really hoping for more new storylines, maybe sci-fi or stuff.
That would be amazing. And I know that they're starting to get into more of like the horror thriller aspect. So I feel like that would be fun to do. But I've started writing a few to hopefully someone picks it up, but to do something a little bit new. And one of them is based on like a traveling circus. And I feel like something with a circus vibe could be really
cool. Yeah, and I think, you know, the audience doesn't need always the billionaire, whatever. I would love to see, for example, also stories like Scrubs. You know, it could be a hospital story, but in the Scrubs way or something like that, where it's not needed that there is a super hidden identity, billionaire, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I did one medical and... learning the dialogue for that was so hard. I was like, I don't know what I'm talking about. It was for real short. And it was with Jesse Morales and Cameron Somers.
Oh, was it that one where Jesse Morales was this super surgeon?
Yeah, you fired a genius surgeon.
Yes, I saw that one.
That just learning the dialogue, because a lot of these you can kind of go off book a little bit and improvise a little. With that one, no, you had to say it as is because I didn't know what I was talking about. So
yeah, but you know, I think this type of stories are more down to earth and the audience could more identify with.
Yeah,
what I didn't understand, for example, was that there haven't been only I think 3 or 4 verticals about this online dating stuff. I mean, a lot of people are using online dating nowadays to get in contact with others. So, and that's a typical vertical storyline, which would work because 2 people, they don't know each other. They get to know, you know, okay, a hidden billionaire could be possible. Why not? But that's a storyline people could better identify. And I'm sure that they will get also hooked with this story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. There really aren't that many online dating stories.
No. I think it's, you know, a lot of stories are really this super typical for example, the storyline I'll never get is contract marriage. So people are marrying one part of this guy or her is going to Europe for 4 or 5 years and then they come back and they don't know each other or recognize each other again.
It's, yeah, some of them are just a little bit too unrealistic and they're the ones that they seem to be doing over and over and over again.
Yeah. And then you have the same story with 5 different casts and that's it. So that's why I prefer hearing that the people are started writing on their own.
Yeah.
To get new storylines because I'm sure we need that.
Mm-hmm. It's tricky though because I also feel like so much of the verticals now go off of the data. And I know that they have data, every word that they say. I know that the word daddy gets more clicks.
So come on.
As
a business informatics studied lady, I can tell you these numbers are so easy to manipulate. And ReelShort has so many ads. Even if you click accidentally once on for, let's say, 2 seconds on one of these ads, it counts as a view. So the smaller platforms, Drama Pops, we spoke about, they don't publish any numbers on their platforms.
Yeah. Which I prefer, but it's crazy now because like a lot of the times the casting directors or the platform are asking me for my numbers and how many views I've gotten. I'm like, well, I don't have anything accurate because half of the shows I do don't even have numbers that I can access.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I'm asking. And the other thing is, you know, there are some shows, they are not even out 24 hours and should have already 100 million views.
That's crazy. That's well, I've also heard some views are like every episode is a view.
Yeah. That's to say, so that's not, they should, in my opinion, these numbers only make sense if someone is watching more than half of a vertical. Because if you have a view just because you accidentally clicked for 1 second on an advertising, that doesn't make sense.
Or even you open the app sometime and there's ones already playing. And I'm like, I wasn't watching that.
Or if you are watching the trailer only, or I don't know. So. That's a reason I don't give anything to these numbers because it's so silly. And to be honest, I mean, when you shot your first vertical in 2023, you know it also. The storylines in 2023 or late 2020 or 2024, there were also some big shots in it. Let's say, for example, the first one I saw was The Double Life of My Billionaire Husband with Jared Harper in it. And the second one I saw, which was also a big shot, was Breaking the Ice on ReelShort. And these storylines hadn't even a half of the violence and all the stuff in the storylines, which the stories had, which were produced in 2025. And when I hear that the platforms are arguing with, we need this shock value for the clicks. No, you don't, because the storylines back then were also with more than whatever million views, and they don't even have the half of it. So you cannot tell me that this shock value is needed, that the people like this shock value.
Yeah, and it's getting out of hand. It's like I was doing this one scene, and I think within 5 pages, there were 3 or 4 slaps. I was like, I don't even know where the slaps are coming. I'm like, I'm just turning my phone.
What? A slap? No, and that's the same with this all miscarriaging stuff. That's so ridiculous. Or this child abusing.
Yeah.
Lately in these verticals, that a child is trapped in a car. And sorry, no, that's totally not needed. So I don't understand when the people are always saying, yeah, we have new audience, they are watching it. I don't believe that. And if they would watch stories like that, they could watch the old stuff. You don't have to reproduce it again and again because
Exactly.
So that's a bit different. What are critics for you to choose a storyline? Have you ever declined a storyline?
I've asked for a lot of changes and they ended up going with other actors, which is fine. It's mostly in the BDSM ones that I read. Some just go a little too far, or it's just stuff I don't want out there. So I ask, like, certain things can be changed. I luckily haven't really come across too violent of scripts yet.
Okay.
So I've just been very lucky in that sense because I know they are out there. But yeah, the ones that I've kind of put my foot down, the BDSM ones, and just like unnecessary lines that are in there. Even my latest one I did, we did the table read and it was me and John Palmer Edwards, and there were lines. We're like, okay, well, moving forward, we're not saying this, we're not saying this, we're not saying this. And the client was like, okay, yes, yes, yes. No, you have to say this, but.
Yeah, yeah. No, because sometimes, you know, when you're saying the BDSM stuff, there were, let's say, half a year ago, a lot of BDSM coming out in the bunch. And I was so, what? And sometimes I'm not very confirmed to all this BDSM stuff, but I think it's kind of, let's say, genre you have to treat with respect, because there are a lot of people out there. Really, I think it's an industry. And for me, it's always hard if they are using a genre in a vertical and it's not properly played or unrealistic or I don't know. It's the same with these sign languages and stuff, you know, if the or what was worse for me, these cooking verticals where the leads don't even know how to use a knife properly. And I was sitting there and was so, no.
Yeah.
No, and you want to be a two-star chef? No.
That's it. I was standing in on a Netflix show years ago. This was just, we wrapped just before the pandemic. And it was a BDSM show on Netflix. And we had a BDSM consultant, like someone who works in the sphere, and they were on set every single day to make sure it was treated with respect. And I feel like I'd be so much more inclined to explore other areas if we had that on set. I remember there was one I did, Wildfire Between Us, and I think it was released on Drama Wave. It was with Jennings and Leith Mawa. Yes. And it was
Oftedal?
Yeah.
Okay, I know which one.
I don't want, but it was right as the LA fires were happening. And I was like, I don't know if this is too touchy. I don't know if doing this. We don't have real firefighters on set telling us the proper protocol.
Yeah.
So that felt a little touchy. And we ended up doing it, but it was released luckily like 4 or 5 months after. So the dust settled, but remember.
Yeah, that's always, it's also the same with the sportives verticals. If you have a sports vertical, for example, a football vertical, and the lead doesn't even know how to proper throw a ball, or this hockey stuff where you see them on the ice, so, I don't know how to ice skate. But yeah, no, so that's it. When I spoke, for example, with Ryan Larson, he did also some BDSM, and I asked him, how did you prepare for that type of role? And he said to me, yeah, I prepared privately because they don't have an expert on set. So he contacted on his own a domina and stuff like that to get this information, how to make it look real in a vertical. But I think that's the thing with the verticals, because it's so rushed in time and so shortened planned, there is not enough time to prepare sometimes properly, and it's a money thing to get an expert.
I feel like that's one of the things that I miss about TV, film, and theater. It's the preparation that goes into it. Like, you can really dig into a character if you have the time and make to come to life. There's just not the time in verticals to do it. Like, at the start of this phone call, I just got a text being like, you might have to fly out today. Like, for a script I haven't read, that probably starts shooting in 2 days. Like, it's just so limited on the prep time and the rehearsals. And we were filming one recently and they were like, okay, we're going to do the scene. We're going to film. I was like, we haven't even done a rehearsal. I don't even know where I'm standing. I was like, no. We're at least going to walk through this once before we start shooting.
Yeah.
Also, my acting that's getting critiqued and you're not even giving me a rehearsal or a chance to read the lines out loud. Like, it's, I don't know. It is what it is. I just hope it grows into a space where we can dig deeper and have more prep time, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was told, because sometimes I miss the really chemistry between the leads, and it's hard if you don't even have really a rehearsal or stuff together. Volodymyr Pelech told me that. He said, listen, Michaela, you know, sometimes the first scene which is shot is making out or intimacy scene, and you know each other for, let's say, 5 minutes on set. And that there is no possibility to have a chemistry if you didn't know each other since another project or whatever. So why is it so attractive to do verticals? So
I think for me, I'm really excited about where the space could go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm riding the wave. It's keeping me busy as well. And hey, my acting in a certain format and style has improved tremendously because I've learned to adapt to this certain, audience and the way that the directors want things and the clients want things. That's something I never learned in school. So I feel like I've learned new things, which is, as an actor, I've got new tools under my belt. And now it kind of, I feel comfortable. So I feel like it's a job that I know for the most part I can do well, that I can do what the client, I know what the client needs. It doesn't take too much work now. So I feel like it's more just I'm going with the flow and waiting for the industry to change so I can expand my tools even more and just grow with the industry. I don't know. I feel very comfortable in the space now. And I think as much as I like being uncomfortable and learning more, there's something nice about going on set and I don't have those nerves that are making me sick anymore. Like, the first day is always like, oh my God, they're going to fire me. But I remember my first time ever on a big union set. It was on, I don't know if you ever saw the show, a show called The Deuce, and it had James Franco, and I was playing like this stripper backstage, and I couldn't say my lines. Like, my voice was just shaking, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is James Franco's show, like, live, pull it together. Feel like from verticals I feel so much more comfortable on sets, and I wasn't getting that booking one role every year, every 2 years on these big sets. I'd go in and I'd say my line and my voice would shake. So I don't know. It's just keeping those tools active. And yeah, I think that's the appeal to me. I get to be an actor at the end of the day, and it's not everyone gets to do that constantly.
What would be a challenge for you on a vertical set? What type of role? Or maybe challenge in a good way also?
The hardest role I've done, which I guess was my biggest challenge, was one I did in China. And I mean, you know what the acting style is for verticals. This was times 100. This was like theater on steroids. And I find my acting style, I play things very minimal and like internally, and I try and let that show, which doesn't work for verticals. So I've tried to find a balance, which I think I finally did find, that still kept it realistic and I want to deliver my lines realistically. And they were not asking for this. They wanted the sharpest head turns that you could do. And I remember the director was telling us, she was like, Liv, like more scared, more scared, more scared. And I'm raising my eyebrows as far up as I can. She's like, more, wider, wider, wider. And I was like, okay, like this is as wide as they can. He was like, yeah, but no forehead wrinkles. I was like, what? Like, okay. Sam, what you're asking for. It was just like, they wanted it to be so dramatic and it hasn't come out yet. So I'm very intrigued to see how it lands. But it was just so outside of my comfort zone. But now I know I can do that. And when they're asking for that specific thing, I know what I want goes out the window. I'm just there to do a job for the client and the director. Like my acting style doesn't matter. I need to do what they want me to do. So I feel like it gets a little bit hard and challenging when I don't have a say.
Yeah. So is it easy or was there ever a role for you which was hard for you to let go because you loved this role really?
Not necessarily the role. Maybe a couple times actually, but I think when I get really attached to the crew and the co-stars, it's hard to let go of a job. And I think sometimes when I don't have the next job lined up and I kind of go from doing this thing that I love doing and I'm around all these creative people and, you know, people are fussing over me. They're doing my hair. They're doing my makeup. They're telling me what to wear. They're telling me where to stand. They're telling me how to say lines. They're telling me what to do, how to be. And then I come back to reality and I'm sitting in my little apartment in New York City by myself. Sometimes it gets hard to let go of what has just happened and come back to reality. It's so up and down constantly. So finding that balance of coming back to reality where no one cares about you, Liv. Like, you're just here. You have to make your own food this morning. I'm like, it sounds a little snobby, but it's, I don't know, just going from being fussed over to nothing. It's kind of, it takes a toll on your mental health sometimes a little bit. It's like,
I know.
Yeah.
I know it's there. The doggos are always good when you can go for a walk. And my dogs, or now only one dog, they're grounding me so deeply because you have to go out with them. You have to take a break. You have to go and take fresh air. You have to, you know, so. And I started to mute my smartphone while I'm walking. Because earlier I was always, okay, anyone wants something for me? No. So I'm now trying every dog walk to be just the dog and I and the nature, and that's it. Because it's so, for me, because of my old job, it was so hard to give me a break of something. I had so, as you said, in mental health, I had so many thoughts flying in around in my head, and I was like, oh, I have to do this and that, and oh, should I do that? So, and I saw picture, it was a cartoon on Instagram which said, why is your dog happier than you? And you see over, I will send it to you, and you see over the head of your dog that he's just thinking about you and the dog walking, and over the head of the human, you saw a head full of totally different thoughts, but not enjoying the moment. And that's so true. That's so true. We cannot just enjoy the moment. And I know exactly when you're saying, okay, I lived eight days in this totally pace.
Yeah.
And then it's gone.
It's gone. It's gone.
And then for me, it was so hard after my surgery. I had 100 hour weeks before, and then I was there in the hospital and the day had 24 hours. And I was so, huh. And I felt back like in school when we're always watching at the clock how many minutes are left. It was so hard for me feel comfortable with me on my own in this situation, only me that I went crazy in the first few weeks because I hadn't any clue what to do with this time.
That's it. It's because your time is just filled with so much, and then it's filled with free time.
Yeah.
And you're like, but then when I'm doing nothing, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I should be doing something.
Yeah, you feel bad if you're doing nothing. It's so, I should, shouldn't I? I cannot sit there on the couch. It's not.
But I think that's something, as we've kind of touched on, like finding peace and just being present with whoever you're around, whether that be your dog or I was saying, if I don't book a job in the next couple of weeks, I think I'm going to go back to Australia and just hang out with my family, because why not? It's my time. It's my free time to make memories with people.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's also why I was invited to a few TV shows in Germany. Yeah. Cooking shows. I cooked in TV shows for 2-star chefs. Yeah. And when I was offered it for the first time, I thought, okay, a bit weird, this challenge, but why not? What's the worst thing that could happen? And I did it and I had so much fun and I won the show. And from this prize money, I bought the older dog who recently died. So I had 14 years my prize money in a dog. Yeah. And it was so, yeah, I did it. Okay. I was invited, you know, they paid my flights and stuff and said, yeah, come over. And all I had to invest was my time.
Wow.
And it was so crazy and funny. And everyone said, what did you do? And I said, I don't know yet, but it was fun. So, yeah. So I want to try a bit different stuff in my life still. You know, a lot of people are always saying, yeah, I will do that later. Yeah, I will do. And for me, that's so, I'm always asking people, telling me, yeah, I will do that later. I said, why not yet? Not now. And they can give you a reason. They cannot give you a reason why. So I think mostly you saw it in the pandemic when there was this big shutdowns. A lot of people get so annoyed and let's say insane because they don't be comfortable with themselves in the situations. So that's why I'm always wondering on this vertical set. Okay, I mean, after doing a few, you recently meet people again. And so you have a bit of, let's call it maybe friends, but you meet also a lot of new people. And then for 8 days and then bam, everything reset.
Which is crazy to me because you become so close with these people. And, you know, you have the conversations on set where you're like, we'll stay in contact. Like, we'll go for dinner. I'll do this, we'll do that. But these people that you were so, so close with, that you spent 24/7 with for 8 days, 9 days in a foreign country, having experiences that I don't even get to have with my family and closest friends, mm-hmm. all of a sudden they're just gone.
But, and let me ask you, when you were saying, yeah, and you also always saying, yeah, let's stay in contact, blah, blah, blah. How high is the percentage where you are really staying in contact after, for more than the first 2 weeks after shooting?
I mean, honestly, I probably stay in contact with like 10 to 20%. In saying that, I don't, because a lot of these people are in LA and like my free time, I probably spend more in New York or I'm not in the same city. So I feel like distance also makes it a little bit hard. Do we text every now and then? Yeah, but then it goes, you don't talk for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and it just kind of
get less.
It fades, but that's like all really.
Yeah, it's normal, I think, between colleagues. That's why I sometimes say don't get too hyped with people, because if you are really honest, you know exactly everyone has his own life. So as you said, it will fade away. So
I think. Oh, I was just going to say, I think that's why letting go of the people that I work with is so hard for me, because I feel like when I meet people, I fall in love with them instantly. I'm like, oh my God, we're having the best time. And I love being present and embracing having the best time with people.
Yeah.
So it's hard to let go of that every 8 days.
Yeah, it makes sense. So When you look back to your first vertical shooting and to the last one you had, what has changed in your personality, or what has acting taught you for life? Let's say vertical acting, for example.
I think personally, I have a new confidence in the sense of my first vertical, I didn't doing it, like I was saying, I was just trying to stay above water. I was like, oh my God, 15 pages. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know if I was doing a good job. Now I can walk into a room and I'm like, no, I know I'm a good actor. I know I'm a good actor. I know they hired me for a specific reason. I'm here to do a job that I feel comfortable in now. And I know I can deliver it. So I feel just having confidence in a skill set is so powerful, because before, like I was saying, I'd have one line on a huge show and my voice would shake. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm good at this. Now I can go in and be like, I'm confident at what I do. I know I'm doing a good job. And if people pass on me for other jobs now, I'm like, okay, well, I know it's not me. I know it's just something specific that they need that I can't give them, I guess, for that specific role. I don't think take things to heart anymore. So I think there was a lot of growing just by becoming more comfortable in this space. And then in the sense of acting, I think what acting's taught me is everyone is going through something and does certain things because of something else. And you always ask the question, you get taught it in school, why am I saying that line? Why did I do that? And I think it gives you a perspective of people, because I can look at someone and be like, why in the world would she do that in my personal life? But acting kind of teaches you, well, X, Y, and Z is why she did that. And so it's become a bit of a, I try not to judge people in my everyday life anymore. It's more just what they do, their actions. Does my life align with that? I don't care. You can fight with your friend. You can do whatever you want. I won't judge you. Does it align with what I want to do? Yes or no? And then
that. So you have more empathy?
I think so. I mean, I'm sure that was always in me, but it's made me more understanding for sure for people.
What is a goal you want to reach in this vertical space? Oh, which is left, a goal you want to?
Telling more meaningful stories, but only if we can do it respectfully. I would love to dive into a character that has dealt with hardships in life, but I want to have the preparation time. I want to do the research. I want to really dive in and do it the best I can. And I hope that the vertical space turns into a space where we can do that respectfully.
Do you think it's good that these bigger Hollywood companies want to get in the vertical space?
I think they'll have the money to do things like that. My one thing is I don't know how verticals work if they're not soap operas. Because, I don't know, Netflix, you already have a subscription. Are they just filming things vertically and putting it on an app? Or do they want people to pay every minute? Because it has to be a soap opera if it is.
Yeah, true. That's true. I mean, the funny part is on Drama Pops, for example, there have been vertical shows you could watch horizontal and vertically. And that was a really great thing.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
And you hooked in every
minute. Because in some episodes, it made more sense to see it horizontal because you could have a wider, you know, impressions of the scene. Okay, and to be honest, some of these shirtless guys look better
on the big screen.
Yeah, if you could watch it horizontal and you see the whole muscle, you know. Sorry for saying that, but that was true. Yeah. No, so I'm curious about how this, you know, a lot of people realize now that it's a big industry and want to get now their piece of the cake. But in my opinion, it's now a bit too late to start totally new in this space.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I wonder what stories Netflix will be releasing, if not soap operas, and how that does, and what their setup is, if they're paying a dollar a minute or 50 cents a minute to just watch, I don't know, a serial killer documentary. Like, I don't know what it is.
No, we will see. But I think if the big ones came in, and as you said, they have the money to do something better, I'm hoping that this would be positive in a way. But I'm not sure if they are trying to get also some A-lister actors in it. You know, I think I saw recently a vertical on Candy Jar with an A-lister Hollywood star.
Was it Taye Diggs? Yeah. I didn't. Did you watch it?
We spoke about in the last monthly recap about it, and it was a bit a crap of the month.
Oh, was it the storyline?
You know, it was the thing. In total, it was tried to get diversity in this vertical. It was tried to get an A-lister Hollywood star because they said, okay, he can act, but no, an horizontal actor who is not experienced in doing verticals, it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's kind of what I was saying before. Like, the one thing verticals gave me was a new tool set, but it took me, you know, 5-6 verticals to get there. It took me experience doing them and learning from my mistakes.
Yeah, and it's the same here in Germany. The first casting calls for verticals, they searched influencer with a huge amount of followers, and that's it, and no acting experiences. And I know one of these production companies, and I wrote them an email and I said, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What are you hoping for? Because this German influencers is not the target group for the vertical lately. These followers are not the classic target crew of a vertical. They cannot pay for a membership because they are teenagers and whatever. So you have now non-actors with the wrong target group, and you want to produce with them verticals for a vertical market, which has, in my opinion, a huge potential here in Germany. But you destroy it from the beginning because you are doing it in the total wrong way. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's the same with this Hollywood star, you know, just because he's successful in horizontal stuff doesn't mean that he is a shining star in a vertical. Sorry for that saying that. But no, as you said, there are actors with more than 50 shows. They are experienced doing a vertical with the pace, with memorizing the text, with presenting in this small area, you know, that has to be learned.
Exactly. And they're not teaching that in schools yet. Maybe one day they will, but no one's getting trained. You only are getting trained by being on set. So you can't just throw anyone in, especially influencers who, if they've never acted, learning 15 pages of dialogue a day is not an easy thing to do, even for someone who is experienced.
Yeah, true. And then, sorry, if you are only, it sounds hard, but if you are only an influencer, you are used to do short reels and creating. You cannot act for an hour consistently ongoing with all the expressions and mimic and, you know, how you look alike. Acting is not just saying some text, it's living the role. And you cannot do that if you are not acting expected. Sorry, but no.
Exactly. Especially with these, where, like, if you're the female lead, you're crying and it's not like you're just delivering lines. There's so much exaggeration that you have to.
And I see there the problems. And as I said, the vertical on Candy Jar wasn't really good.
It's a shame, but I'm also not completely disappointed because I think they needed to try it to see that maybe this isn't the way forward. Maybe A-listers isn't the way forward.
I also read some rumors that they want to do a vertical with Kim Kardashian because it's Kim Kardashian.
I just don't think the audience is like in for. It'll bring a new audience, but okay, maybe once. I don't know if she's got a whole season, how many people are going to subscribe to that? I don't know.
No, but you know what I mean. That's so difficult.
It's not that
naive industry. It's a really big industry where you have to do it right, in my opinion. So we will see. But I think that this summer there will be a huge movement in this space because I think it's not so bad for this vertical industry if there will be a movement, but it has to be the right movement.
Yeah, for sure. Well, then there's also like the whole movement of AI, which I hope. Oh, I was at a dinner party last night with a few creatives, and I really hope this AI thing is just a phase where, you know, the platforms are hyped up on trying this AI, fully AI vertical. And they're all doing it right now, but hopefully in 6 months, they go back to new open.
You have to listen to the monthly recap, which dropped recently. We spoke a lot of AI on the audience side about that one.
Yeah. So, no, we will see. I think there is a big, big movement going on. And hopefully it's for the good thing. Liv, on the end of every episode, I'm asking a 5-question quickie. Everyone gets the same 5 questions. So we spoke a bit about cooking and stuff. So I want to know, what's your favorite dish?
It changes, but right now I'm obsessed with cow soy.
With what?
Cow soy. It's like a Thai curry dish.
Okay.
I've never made it. But when I order it, it's, if I'm at a Thai restaurant, that's my go-to, right?
Okay. What's the ingredients roundabout? What's it?
There's usually it's a chicken thigh in there. Then there's those like the hard noodles, but with the curry, they soften. And I think it's more of a, it's kind of similar to a Penang curry. It's like a yellow curry. I add spice. And then, you know, noodles, bean shoots, veggies. But yeah, it's kind of that typical yellow curry type.
Okay. Okay. Huh. I've never eaten that.
It's good. If you get a chance, try it.
You know, I'm total typical traditional. I love the traditional German food.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't have to be super fancy.
Yeah.
I need more soul food, you know? In my cookbook, there are a lot of soul food recipes with not so many ingredients and total simple to cook. But the taste is so good. Yeah, I'm more the German soul food type.
My Nana, she made the best schnitzel I've ever had in my life and taught my mom how to make it. So now whenever I go home to Australia, I'm like, schnitzel.
But schnitzel is from Austria, not from Germany.
Oh, okay.
Because it's origin the Wiener Schnitzel from Vienna. And I hope that your mom is making the schnitzel with calf, because the origin schnitzel is with calf meat.
Oh, that I don't know if she's doing. I'll have to pull her up on that.
And she is not baking it in a pan. She has to frighten it in a pan.
Yes, yes.
So that the panade is really great and fluffy.
I'll have to send you photos next time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love it when people cook, you know. I love this. So, do you have any type of comfort movie? Maybe a movie from the childhood who you really watched, I don't know how many times.
My current comfort movie, I think it came out in 2022, is Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
I don't know this one.
It used to be this little YouTube clip, and it's all claymation. So it's like this little shell, and he had this YouTube series or just like this comedy bit back in the day. And so A24 made a
made a like documentary movie on it. And it's this little shell getting interviewed. And it's just playing these. It's so funny. It's so funny. I like watch it once every 6 months.
That's cool. I love it. And what type of music do you love to listen? Are you the music type?
Yeah, I'm a bit all over the place with my music taste. Right now, I love this Irish singer, Dermot Kennedy. And, you know,
I love Irish music. That's why I had this Irish guy in my sound garden, you know? I love Irish music.
I love it.
No, I love this Irish music. And the Irish singer, for example, I had here in the sound garden, he sang without the guitar, only his voice, this old Irish folks sometimes. I have to send.
Fine. Yeah, please send me his stuff because I love.
And when he was singing in my garden, you know, no electricity, just his voice. And he sang this old Irish songs, this traditional. Oh, that was so good.
Oh, my gosh.
This type of spontaneous meetings are mostly the best memories you can make.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. Yeah, so this Irish music, yeah, I know this guy. I've heard from him, and I'm sure I heard two of his songs.
Yeah, his latest song. God, I love it. I love it. And
do you hear music to prepare for shootings?
Sometimes for emotional scenes, I will listen to some music. I love some sad music. It just in my everyday life. I'm a bit of a sad girl at heart. Yeah, but I think sometimes listening to music does help me get into more of the emotional scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the happy, lighthearted scenes, I feel like just vibing on set with everyone else is fine. But yeah, the sadder scenes.
Okay. So last two questions. If I would come to you and say, Liv, I've never watched any Vertical, which one of yours I should definitely have watched?
That's such a good question. I feel like one that people really liked was Seven Steamy Days with a Gangster. That was one of my earlier ones that I think did quite well. But I also got a lot of hate on that one for my acting because...
Do you know which platform that was?
That was on Drama Wave. I think now it's on Real Short.
Okay.
But only recently it went onto Real Short. But... Yeah, I feel like that was when I was still kind of working out my acting style in Verticals and it was a bit more minimal. So I got a little bit of hate on that for my acting style, but other people were like, this is my favorite Vertical ever. I rewatch it all the time. So it's so subjective. Yeah. Other than that, I loved the two I did in Turkey recently, the One Night with My Son and Tears in Contract. I feel like that.
The one with Cayman was really good.
It
was really good. It's also because I love Cayman's acting and his variety in characters. But did you know each other before?
Mm-mm.
But there the chemistry was really good.
Yeah, and I feel like we were like being actors there. The director allowed us the space to just be actors and put in our thoughts and we would rehearse it together. Sometimes I get on set and people don't always want to rehearse beforehand. They're like, I just like, let's do it. Me and Kane were like, let's do it again. Like, let's change it up a little bit. Let's try it again. And then we fight it on set and with a solid foundation for the scene, which I feel like maybe now comes across.
Yeah. I think because the chemistry was really good. I really liked it in this Vertical. It was really good. So last question, which genre you want to see more on you in Verticals?
I feel like the heart of Verticals is romance. And I love doing a good romance Vertical. So I will do them any day. But if I had to pitch it to the Vertical gods out there, let's do something new that hasn't been done before. So,
What would you prefer? Some, I don't know, action or, as I said, sci-fi or real comedy, parody maybe, or...
Comedy would be really fun. It's just comedy so subjective to people that I never know, like, what I find funny, someone else isn't going to find funny. So I would love to do it. And I think being on comedy sets, I've been on them before, the experience is just so much more fun than doing something dark. But yeah, it doesn't always land. So I would say I would do comedy just for the on-set experience. And then let's do a little sci-fi. I haven't done that yet.
Sci-fi, I think also some who told me that, who wants to do a kind of Star Wars, you know, space stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Or even like Black Mirror type stuff.
Yeah.
That would be...
Richard Cherry would be up for Mission Impossible style with fast motorcycles and action, he told me.
Such a guy thing to say.
True. That's true. No, but I think with action verticals, maybe you can or could hook more audience, male audience.
I think the male audience will come in. Yeah, doing like a James Bond type thing. Oh my God, I'd do that any day.
Robert Keefe told me lately when I recorded with him, he's riding on a James Bond style vertical because he's a British guy and he looked so great in his suit and he wants to do so dang a James Bond one. So
you're gonna ride it yourself.
Yeah. I love this creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. It keeps us creative in between being on set. I love it.
And not just talking, doing it, you know? You cannot only wish. Sometimes you have to be the change you wanna see. So that's it.
I love it.
Yeah. We will see. Liv, I thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I'm sure we will stay in contact. And I wish you a great week ahead and great upcoming projects, whatever and wherever you are doing it. And all the best for you. And thanks again for your time. Bye, Liv.
I appreciate you.
Hi. This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.